UK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. Attorney General Merrick Garland is going to name a special counsel to oversee the investigation of the classified documents taken from former President Donald Trump's estate in Florida, as well as aspects of a separate investigation of the Capitol riot. The announcement comes 3 days after Donald Trump announced he's running for president in 2024. A day after Nancy Pelosi says she's stepping aside as House Democratic leader, the party could make even more history. The AP's Sagar Magani has the story.
15 years after Pelosi became the House's first female speaker.
Good morning, everyone.
New York's Akeem Jeffries could make his own history as the first black leader of either party in Congress. Jeffries says he's running for House Democratic leader after Pelosi said it's time to pass the mantle.
For me, the hours come for a new generation.
Top deputies Steny Hoyer and Jim Clyburn are also stepping aside, with Catherine Clark and Pete Aguilar moving quickly to replace them after long working with Jeffries as lower-rung leaders and now seeking a smooth transition as Democrats shift to the House minority. Sagar Magani, Washington.
2 feet of snow is on the ground already in parts of Buffalo, New York. Zach Taylor at the National Weather Service says it's just the start.
We're looking at additional 1 to potentially localized 3 feet of additional snowfall through this weekend. So shaping up to be a pretty significant event for Western New York.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul declared a state of emergency for parts of Western New York. Twitter is continuing to bleed engineers and other workers after its new owner, Elon Musk, gave them a choice: either pledge to hardcore work or resign with severance pay. Hundreds of employees signaled they were leaving ahead of a deadline set by Musk, posting a salute emoji and other symbols familiar to Twitter workers on the company's internal Slack messaging board. This is AP News.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. Divorce can be complicated, especially if children are involved. If you're a father and want to protect your role in your children's lives, remember Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men with matters like these for 30 years, and we'd love to help you.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Attorney General Josh Call announcing the Wisconsin DOJ has blocked an online software sales training program from enrolling new students and collecting fees from already enrolled Wisconsinites with a court-ordered temporary injunction. This is due to their failure to obtain approval to operate in Wisconsin. The company Pre-Hired, Pre-Hired Recruiting LLC, and Pre-Hired Accelerator LLC operate an unapproved online school which claims to train students for careers as software sales development reps. They offer financing through an income share agreement which commits students to pay up to $30,000 in future wages. AG Call said companies must follow common sense rules in place which protect Wisconsin consumers from harm. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Right. And we're back at the top of the hour. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin in Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Madison. And I'm your host, Philip Morris, filling in for Kristen Bry. Feel free to call or text anytime here to 844-967-2789. And so in this hour, we're going to talk about some more random things because it's a wonderful Friday. I'd love to say that we are seeing snow, but we're not seeing sun.
No,
but
we're not seeing any sun.
Hopefully we'll get a little glimpse. You know, it's not as gray as it could be. And so as we get into this hour, you know, there are a couple of things out here that come to top of my mind here. And one of the big ones here is the state of public education. And I know I'm sure a lot of people here around the state are recognizing that we've got the teacher shortage. We've got all kinds of things happening in the classroom. We got things happening at the administrative level. But the big thing that I've been hearing, and I was actually one digging into it because I have three kids, two kids in the elementary level and one that will soon be in the elementary level, those DPI results, the Department of Public Instruction, those proficiencies and those results that came out this week, were startling for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And here come, what is it, April, when we have school board elections coming up again. And I know even in my municipality in Wauwatosa, I think there's going to be at least four seats open. I think there's going to be some heads on the chopping block and people that are going to be looking in different directions at the superintendent and at the school boards all across the state, because proficiencies in math and language, they were okay, but they're declining.
It's not good.
No.
It really isn't good. And certainly kids lost a lot of ground during the pandemic. And I can't imagine, you were home with your kids mm-hmm. during the pandemic and trying to work.
It was tough. They not only trying to work, but trying to be as good as a classroom teacher.
Sure.
You know, whether it was the days we had to do things on our own while we worked or give the attention to our work and the same amount of attention to our kids on a brand new laptop or a county or school issued laptop that they've never seen before. And to get a 5 or 6 or 7 year old up to speed in a day or two to now participate on a Zoom that they've never seen before and to be able to recognize all the things that come that we're seeing from as business professionals being on a screen. That's not how kids learn.
No, it's not.
And it's not, I don't personally think it's not optimal for it. You know, if it's a one-off, there are opportunities. Hey, if you're sick and this is a way we can get you to interact, we can pull these things in. It's no different than the e-gaming and that kind of stuff, but not for every day. And I understand that there are virtual schools and things out there for, you know, kids with certain circumstances, but I'm talking about for the masses. I don't think that our communities statewide, I don't care if you're in Beaver Dam, Black River Falls, Onalaska, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Beloit, doesn't matter. We can't afford for our communities to go down because we all know one thing that's as sure as death and taxes, and we're going to talk about taxes. Your communities go down and your schools go down. The quality of the education for those kids and those families, people will up and move, and that migration will be to someplace else where there are better schools.
Yes.
That is without a doubt a fact.
And the fact is going to remain that, and I don't know enough personally about the voucher program and mm-hmm. all of those things, but private schools are going to remain out of reach for many, many people.
That's right.
Right? They're never going to open their doors for everyone. I just don't see that happening. And we need our public schools. We need teachers. It breaks my heart the way that this state demonized teachers mm-hmm. and made them the enemies. And then to go through the pandemic
and parents having to take on those responsibilities and hopefully gaining a little bit more appreciation for what it is the teachers do. But I don't think that's translated to appreciation or compensation.
No, I think you're 100% correct there. You know, if I ever get elected to anything at this state or in any state or anywhere else, I tell people the two places that will get a significant pay increase are the teachers and our police and firefighters.
Yeah.
Because I don't, they're two different, you know, ends of the spectrum, but they matter most in our communities. They're the ones who take care of us. The teachers take care of us inside the school to make sure that our kids have someplace that is safe and someplace that you don't have to worry. And, you know, I know all these bad things happen with these school shootings and everything else, and those are very unfortunate, but your kids should never feel unsafe. They shouldn't ever feel any type of way when it comes to their teacher. That should be the number one person. And I grew up, you know, in a smaller town, not a small town, in Florida. And to this day, and, you know, and she's not doing so well, but my third grade teacher was one of the most important people in my life. I remember my second grade teacher. She was good. My fourth and fifth grade teachers were pretty awesome. But my third grade teacher, Mrs. Wiggins, was one of the most incredible people. And she followed, when Facebook came out, she followed me on Facebook all these years later.
Wow.
And she would chime in. And she had an unfortunate accident hiking a few years ago. And now she's battling some dementia. So I put all the love and prayers out there to her and her family because I went to school with her daughter. But those teachers matter.
What was it about Mrs. Wiggins in particular that you remember?
She cared.
And how did she...
The care, whether you were doing something right or doing something wrong, you always knew where you stood because she was authentic, she was honest, and she was fair. She would take the time to come and, you know, bring you to the side. If there's something that, you know, she didn't agree with, it was never anything punitive. Yes, you might have gotten in trouble, but you still had, you felt safe in the sense that it was, she took the time and she had the care, custody, and control of the situation to make sure that you learned something and that she was still there for you. You weren't left out in the cold. You weren't abandoned. You know, I see a lot of teachers, and by the time I got to high school, I had a lot of teachers that were in their, you know, and it's no knock on a teacher in their 20s. My sister-in-law out in Middleton, Madison, was a teacher, still works in the school system. But teachers have a tremendous amount of pressure on them by the parents. And they have a tremendous amount of pressure on them by their community because they're stretched thin. They're stretched thin by the paycheck because when they subtract and do the math and, you know, divide their hours that they spent, they're trading more than time for money.
Oh, yeah.
They're giving themselves up to the job. And they're not getting anything for it. I said, but at the same token, they burn out a whole lot quicker. You know, the teachers back then, I remember I look back, I thought teachers were young when I was in school. They were in their late 40s and 50s, but they were career teachers. Now if you meet a teacher that's got 10 years in, I mean, more power to you.
Yeah.
I give you high praise because a lot of them don't make it past 2, 3, 4 years.
Well, the dynamic has changed so much.
Very much.
Again, I'm at the very end of the baby boom, and our teachers were the rulers.
Mm-hmm.
And if my teacher called my mother, she would believe the teacher regardless. There was no, Jane, what's your side of the story? I didn't have a side of the story.
That's right.
The teacher was the authority figure whose word was taken. Now, I don't have kids, but I think parents stick their nose in too much sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
They do. And assuming Billy or Susie or Jenny or Eric are always innocent and being there to be their lawyer, I don't know. I don't know that that's doing a service for our children.
I would agree there in that sense. And I'm guilty of it. You know, if the school called and said, Dane did something here, my first thought is like, I want the whole story. I need to know what happened. I need all the details. I need to know what's what. But then I've learned over these, you know, I've only had a couple of years to learn this.
Right.
And as a parent, a new parent, it's a learning curve. But you have to learn quickly that the teachers are there to do a job, a hard job, a job that we learned in 2020. I absolutely do not want. I was hell-bent on if something was going to change and we were going to go back into lockdown, oh, we were buying a teacher. We are going to the school system to find, all right, it's going to be highest bidder.
We need our own.
We will have our own. I am not doing, I have all the respect for those who have the time, patience, and the glory within to be homeschool parents. I couldn't do it. I'd close the door, I'd walk out, drive away, and probably not come back if I had to do that all day, every day, 5 days a week, and to make sure that they survived for K through 12, because that's incredibly hard. That's a lot. It's a big task. And I know there are circumstances where people do that for whatever their reasons are, but it shouldn't be equally hard for those teachers in the classroom. And parents have to get out of the way.
Yes, they do. And our teachers should not have to be paying out of pocket for school supplies.
100%. 100%. I'm the first one, you know, any type of picnic or event, and we are very fortunate. We live in Wauwatosa and have a great school district, and our public schools are outstanding. I know the difference between going a half a mile just east of us into a Milwaukee public school. They don't have the resources that we do. They don't hold the events and have the fundraisers that we do. They don't have the bash. They don't have
the science fairs, right?
Oh, my gosh. Forget a science fair. They don't have a science program in some cases in some of these schools where we have, we had a referendum and spent millions of dollars and built a new school and did this and did that. And we added a STEM program inside the school, and we have a STEM lab, and we have new furniture. We have all these things. But when you look at the things that our kids across the state, whether it's rural communities or in the city of Milwaukee or down in Beloit or Kenosha, no matter where it is, those kids deserve to have the resources. And they also deserve to have a quality of teacher that doesn't have to deal with the politics.
Absolutely.
Because the politics in the classroom, I think that's where those teachers hit their boiling points and they can't get out of the way, because now they're bound by the bureaucracy of the, you know, administration and the layers and the red tape and all of this other stuff. And I think if we can let teachers teach, put the students first, and let that cycle of the ecosystem inside the classroom, inside the walls of that school and inside the district, that's how you restore our public school systems. Because I don't know, and I've been reading these articles, there's some really good articles, but I don't know if throwing more money at the schools, not the teachers, but at the schools and at the system and creating more layers is the answer. If you want to tell me I want to fix the budget and every teacher is going to get a 60% increase and they're going to be paid, you know, all throughout the year, if there's none of this, you know, I don't know all the rules out there on, well, they don't get paid summers, they get paid partial, they can stretch it. No, no, no. They spend a lot more hours than 40 hours a week with those kids. And I am extremely happy to say that, you know, I'm very proud and very satisfied with the teachers that my kids have had, because they put that time. And I think there's so many places that the teachers, just like the parents, don't have the time, because yep. they'll say, I've got to teach to the test. I've got to follow this that I got from curriculum and instruction and instructional yep. design. The director of this and the director of that said we have to cover these things. And it became more about us checking something off and saying that we did it versus making it about putting that student first so that everybody can have that experience with Mrs. Wiggins like I did.
While we're talking about Mrs. Wiggins, Brooke, real quickly, who was your favorite teacher that you remember having a big influence on you?
Oh my gosh, I was hoping you were going to ask me this. I was just, as you guys are talking about it, I pulled up her Facebook because we're friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. She was my first grade teacher. And she, oh my gosh, when I talk about her, I literally get emotional because she is one of the best people I have ever known. She has such an impact on my life. And like, she used to have like bunnies in the classroom. And after that, I always wanted a bunny. I ended up with a 50-pound dog, but
almost a bunny.
I always loved animals after that. And now she rescues kittens. She turned half of her house into like a little, like sanctuary for cats. Like, what an incredible person. And she works at some of the fairs sometimes mm-hmm. in the summer, so I always go and I hunt her down and I find her. And every time we see each other, she's like, you look the same as when you were about six.
That's right.
What's her name?
Mrs. Het.
All right, Mrs.
Shout
Het.
Out to Mrs. Het, and shout out to Miss Zarin, who was my fifth grade teacher. She told me I could write and I had a way with words, and she changed my life.
That's right. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Walk Radio Studios talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think.
Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you. Or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance of scattered snow showers this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 25. West winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows level off around 14. Tonight, cloudy. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Chance of snow showers. Highs level off around 23. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
All right, and we are back. Back here after the break here. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Call or text anytime at 844-967-2789. And so, again, I'm going to jump around because this is a random Friday and we're going to have some fun. I got more questions for Gen Z, so I hope all of our listeners here are getting a learning experience here. And I got a simple question here because I hear a lot of comments about Gen Z because they're so sensitive and they're sensitive about everything and they're this, that, and the other. So I have a simple question, and Brooke, you tell me, is Gen Z, are they hypersensitive or are they morally attentive?
Ooh, this is where I'm like really split because I feel like in some ways both.
Okay.
I feel like looking at like sometimes when I like watch the things my parents used to watch, because I feel like I am an old soul in the way of like the music I listen to and I like the stuff I watch that my parents used to watch and stuff like that. And some of that stuff, like, I'll find it funny or I'll find it interesting. And then like later I'll hear like people are really mad about it. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes don't always see the harm in it. Mm-hmm. But then in the same breath, there are things where that like people should absolutely be mad about that I also get mad about. So it's hard. I don't know. I think it just varies with each situation because there are definitely things that I'm like, I feel like we are just wanting to be angry about something and this is the wrong thing to be angry about. And there are moments where I was like, that person said something really awful, racist, homophobic, whatever it was, and we should be pissed. Sorry, can I say that on the air, Jane? Okay.
Well, you did now, honey.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm very split on that. I think it really just depends on each situation.
Okay.
I think that's a real balanced look at it, though, Brooke. I really mm-hmm. do. And I would I do think in some instances, yes, you guys are hyper prickly about things. And yet at the same time, you're right. There are things that we should absolutely be outraged about.
Mm-hmm. You know, now I have to flip it to you, Jane. From your generation down through the Gen Xers and even to the top side of the millennials, you know, but thinking of those that are Gen Xers and above, are they not sensitive enough and morally void when it comes to the sensitivities of how those Gen Zs or those younger millennials are feeling?
That's a great question, Philip. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some of it is, if you are in a position of comfort, mm-hmm. that gives you a much different perspective.
Okay.
So if you are economically stable, if you are financially stable, if you have a stable job and a place to live and all of those things, you're going to have a much different outlook on what's fair, what's not fair, right? This is just, this is not just, because it affects you differently.
This is true.
So I think a lot of it is going to have to do with your circumstances.
I think you're right. And I just had this conversation with relatives of mine in Florida last week. And we were talking about this in the sense of, and I'm very aware and very empathetic to that space of, if you asked me these same things 10 years ago, I'd have a different answer. If you asked me these 20 years ago, when I was much younger, I'd have a significantly different answer. And I'm wondering if we're just in a space where we have so much between the demographics between each generation, because we have a very large and a very prominent and a very vocal Gen Z, the younger ones, that, you know, are not going to sit back and just be quiet and silent. But then we have very analytical, the ones that can straddle the fence on that are both analog and digital in the millennial world. But then you have the purely analog, the 8-track, the floppy disk, the old school that said, hey, we did it without anything. When you look at the generations in those spaces, regardless of what the time frame are, is it something that you learn? And it's the first time we've really had 3-4 generations that are actually communicating, because we have the ability to, and we have the technology to communicate with each other near instantly. Because how I thought, where I'm at today in my corporate job and the things that I do, put me in a position, like you said, Jane, to make very different decisions, because I am more than comfortable. But then when I'm with, you know, my relatives that are not so comfortable, I can understand where they are and I can meet them where they're at. And I think there's so many things between the Gen Zs, the millennials, and even the Gen Xers that we have an inability to meet each other where we are and understand that Gen Z's perspective, it's not overly sensitive. It's attentive because they're paying attention to all the parts. And the sum matters to them as much as the parts do. Whereas as you go up and you learn more, the parts are more important to us because that's that specialization. Well, I only care about healthcare. I only care about education. I only care about law enforcement. I only care about these things because of the comfort of where we are. And so I have more thoughts on that. And I think there's, Brooke, I think you've got a lot of things, because I'm going to ask you on the, after we connect for the next break, I have one.
No pressure, Brooke. We're just putting all of the next half of the show is on you.
Well, I got to put it on her because it's giving me more faith in Gen Z from a space, because again, we don't get all the time with them every day. I work with one Gen Z, and then outside that one person, I'm the next youngest at 40. And there's a big gap because the rest of my company is 50 plus. And so they look at me in a different way. And so I think that there's some things to be learned here. And I think when we get into it, you're going to really, I'm saying this, I'm making an assumption that you're either going to really like my next question or really hate it. So we're going to find out here after we come back from the next break. But Jane, I think you'll remember this because this is going to go old school. And I like that you said, Brooke, that you were kind of an old soul and you watched and you listened and you got to experience things that your parents did. And so when we come back from this next break, I think we're going to get a little juicy here. So we're going to go to a break here. We'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
With an AP News Minute. There is a lot of snow on the ground in and around Buffalo, New York, and in the sky, thunder snow. There is at least 2 feet of snow on the ground. Much more is expected. Mayor Byron Brown in Buffalo says stay off the roads.
When the snow is falling between 3 to 4 to 5 inches an hour, you can't beat it. You are going to get stuck, so we need people to follow the guidelines.
The worst snowfall so far was south of Buffalo. The storm forced the Buffalo Bills to move their home game Sunday to Detroit. When stepping aside from any future leadership post, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said,
"For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus."
Today, Hakeem Jeffries of New York announced he plans to become the first Black American to lead a major U.S. political party in Congress as leader of the House Democrats. I'm Ed Donahue.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. Divorce can be complicated, especially if children are involved. If you're a father and want to protect your role in your children's lives, remember Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men with matters like these for 30 years, and we'd love to help you.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. All Wisconsin households are now eligible for free at-home rapid COVID tests. People in Wisconsin can place an order online every month for one free test kit that contains 5 rapid antigen COVID-19 tests, which are delivered to your door. The Say Yes COVID test program is offered through the Department of Health Services. Roadsides on and around the Menominee Reservation in northern Wisconsin are now bilingual. The new signs are in English and in the Menominee language. The dual language signs first appeared last year and will likely be added in other tribal communities. In sports, the Packers lost to the Titans last night 27-17. Badger volleyball's at Rutgers tonight. Football plays at Nebraska tomorrow. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
I'm ready to go right now.
All right, and I'm ready to go right now with more questions for Gen Z. So feel free to call or text anytime in here to As Goes Wisconsin, 844-967-2789. I hope you've got plenty of questions for Brooke here, our in-house resident Gen Z. She's got all the answers, and she's speaking for she's the voice of a generation.
No pressure, Brooke.
No pressure at all. So I'm going to go to one that, you know, some may say is lighthearted, but this is a really serious question here. Oh, gosh. The favorites of yesteryear, and Jane, chime in here. You probably know these names, and I'm going to test your knowledge of some of this old school stuff here, because I want to know about, go back to sensitivity. Johnny Quest, Hong Kong Phooey, Tom and Jerry, The Mr. Magoo Show, The Simpsons, South Park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I watch South Park a lot now, even.
Okay. Do you like South Park?
I do.
Do you like any of those other ones?
Yeah, So I used to watch Tom and Jerry. I don't now. And then, what was the one you said right after that?
After Tom and Jerry, the Mr. Magoo Show. That's a very old one.
I used to watch that with back when I was, just starting school, that was, something we'd watch, me and my sisters, early in the morning.
Okay.
My dad would play it. But I honestly didn't know what it was until... you just revamped a memory in my brain.
Sure. Jane, did you watch any of these?
Oh, of course.
All right.
I loved Johnny Quest.
Yes, same here.
I love Johnny Quest because I wanted to be Adventure Girl, and he was Adventure Kid.
That's right. And then we had so many things that we, you know, whether you learned them or not, and things that you took had takeaways. I said those were my fond Saturday morning memories from growing up, you know, even growing up in the South. Those were, I thought were good things. And so when you get into the hypersensitivity of what we are feeling, that we think that the Gen Zs and everybody with the cause and, you know, whatever parts that are out there, if it's animated, is it still racist?
See, that is, I always struggle with this. My mom, I've asked her this, we've talked about this. She says no. Okay. I always listen to what my mom says, so I also say no. And some of the stuff I don't take offense to, but then some stuff I do, I'm like, maybe you shouldn't have said that. But like, I don't, honestly, I have struggled with this question so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't ask my dad because, well, my dad's white and I don't want his opinion. To be perfectly honest, but I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
Sure. And so, and Jane, I'll pose the same to you. And I say this at the risk of getting trashed by South Park people and all the fans out there. This is not meant that way. He goes, but when you really think about, South Park is funny, no matter how you look at it. You know, all these shows had humor, had different things. But there are some things that lend that could be one way or the other. But I ask that question, if it's animated, is it racist? Inherently, it might be. You know, there's an episode at South Park where they say the N-word 42 times. I didn't count, but it's out there and it's been out there. I said, and most people that have seen that episode will say, and even the critics say, well, it was calling light to a word of negative connotation to make it less negative. And it's, you know, whether it's, you know, the two characters that are not offended by it in the show. But I link all this up to a lot of what we're hearing right now in the cancel culture, and a lot of what we're hearing now in the, you know, the spaces of the, what we're seeing in basketball, what we're seeing in music, what we're seeing across the board in a lot of spaces with anti-Semitism. And I said, you know, we're seeing real people and we're seeing real things, and we're saying that we're hearing the rhetoric in all these places, whether it's Dave Chappelle, whether it's Kyrie Irving, whether it's Kanye, there's stuff being said all over this country by all kinds of people behind closed doors, behind the microphone, all this, that, and the other. And I don't condone any of it, but I have to ask the question there is, have we come to, as we go through those generations again, are there hypersensitivities at different levels at a different age? Because I'm very curious on, with a lot of this, whether it's the animated series from yesteryear or the animated series from today or the rhetoric that's going on, what are Gen Z's thoughts out there on things that are happening?
So when it comes to like things that are animated, like there are like things that I see that are coming out now that I feel like are saying things that could be seen as questionable. Like there's like Bob's Burgers or Big Mouth or something like that.
Yes.
I don't watch that one, but my mom does. And I feel like the people that do find those shows funny are usually people that are older than me. I don't really watch a lot of animated stuff anymore, but I have noticed like my dad, my stepdad, my mom, my older cousins, like they all like watch those kind of like animated shows that are for adults, that some people could say like, just because it's a cartoon, it's still racist, it's still this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because it is different when it is like a celebrity, like Kanye saying something that he shouldn't say, or any human being saying it, like it does strike a different chord with me than like if it's a cartoon that I'm watching.
Jane, what are your thoughts out there?
Well, I have to admit, I have never seen South Park or The Simpsons.
Oh my.
Never. Not one episode.
You probably added time to your life then.
Yes. I've never seen Married with Children. I've never seen
I love that show.
A lot of things that were at the top of the pop culture did not appeal to me. And so I've never seen them. Certainly, I think that things that if what you're saying is wrong, whether it's drawn or it's live, does it matter?
That's the question of the day. You know, and I think a lot of people, I've had this conversation a couple of times in the last week, and then it's just only gotten exacerbated. And so I think they're all constructive conversations because it leads us all to learn something. And I get very curious on what others think, because I don't want to make assumptions about anybody, because sometimes you might hear a joke that maybe sometimes you're in proximity that you weren't supposed to hear. But now what are my thoughts? Are they forever changed about the person I was telling those? And am I thinking different about how I approach them, or how do I approach them or have interactions at all? And I think for the sake of not being overly or hypersensitive in all generations, I think we have to come to grips on with what these things are. And either have a complete understanding and a complete agreement that right is right and wrong is wrong. And especially if it's wrong, it's wrong no matter what it is, and draw a line there. Because if we don't, then it's okay. Because we just said, hey, we won't say it as real people. We'll just create an animated series that we can do it over there. Or we'll just create a comic. Because it's just, you know, a story. It's just make-believe, right? I think there's a very fine line. And it's not very far from, you know, the propaganda of the day of yesteryear from, you know, war times or whatever it might be of how they disseminated information. And I think, and I've talked with folks, said it comes down to who your audience is. And how are they receiving these and how they're accepting these? And is what you're saying, what you might be saying as a joke, do they believe it's the gospel? Do they believe this is real life? Oh, and if you're higher profile, if LeBron James said it, it's serious. It's real. If Donald Trump says it, it's real. Doesn't matter who the base is. What matters is that there is a base and that there's somebody that's going to believe it. And whether that's one somebody or 10 million somebodies, going back to the Swifties and the Bayhive, when you get out there, you have to be very... I won't say cautious because I think we have become a little sensitive on those things. Yes, the show All in the Family that my grandparents used to love would never make it today.
But you know what, though, Philip? It was so groundbreaking, and Norman Lear addressed things that no one would talk about.
That's right.
And it's cringeworthy. It was cringeworthy then. And it remains cringeworthy.
Yes.
You know, Brooke, I'm curious, do you and your friends ever go see comics? Do you ever go see stand-up comics?
I have never seen a comic before. I've wanted to, but I just haven't. I don't think any of them have either, as far as I know. I feel like that's not very common.
I think she's right, Jane, because I go see a lot of stand-up comics, and I don't look around the room, whether it's the Improv, whether it's the Northern Lights Theater, whether it's a theater in Chicago. Not many younger ones.
You don't see younger. That's really interesting. No. Because it would be just interesting to see what you thought was acceptable material from this comic.
Well, I think that I've watched stuff on TV, like Dave Chappelle. Like, I watched that, but I've never, like, been in a room and then watched someone tell jokes. I think it is more common for people my age to watch it later on TV or...
Sure, YouTube like or something.
Yeah. Because a lot of people were... I've heard people... that are my age be mad about certain things that comics have said on TV or whatever, but I just have never really gotten into that. Like, what I don't really...
Doesn't speak to you.
Yeah. Like, all the stuff that I, you know, speaking to, like, when I said I was an old soul and I watched, like, all this old stuff, I actually looked at a list of stuff that I have watched, and it was a lot of, like, girly movies. It was never really, like, cartoons. It was, even when I was really young, it was always, like, The Heathers or, like... I really loved Beetlejuice, or The Labyrinth is my favorite movie. The Color Purple is my favorite movie. Can't Buy Me Love. Like, those are the things that, like, I was watching because I feel like I don't know, I resonated with those more.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to worry about that when I was watching those things.
You know, again, these are learnings here. I'm getting a better perspective of where, not the animus or the negativity comes from that's out there in the universe from anybody, because it's everywhere. I mean, we're in a time in our lives here in 2023, soon to become 2023, that information travels so quickly, and most of us are not seeking long form information to go out and go to the Encyclopedia Britannica and sit down and read chapters. It's our TikToks, it's our Facebook, it's our Instagram, it's imagery, it's pictures, it's stuff that's on the go. And so the conversations, and I like your point there, Jane, when it comes to, you know, groundbreaking things that were controversial. It might have been the first time. And we still have those moments. There were shows pre-pandemic and during pandemic that brought to light things that we probably would have never talked about in certain circles, but now people have had a lens of that. And I'm hoping from a lot of this stuff that we're hearing that it's at least opening up dialogues where people can ask more questions and find out why. And find out why, if someone does feel a certain way or think a certain way, hey, where'd they get that from? Because sometimes it's just correcting the narrative. It's no different than anything else that we see in society.
But I think for some older people, and especially boomers, because there is so much sensitivity, I'm not going to ask the question.
This is true.
I have lots of questions, and I'm not going to ask them, because if I do, I'm going to get pilloried for it.
I could see that. The woman I met on a flight, and this is last year, she called it the Paula Deen syndrome. She goes, I have questions, I'm going to ask them, but the moment I do, it's going to open a can of worms, it's going to put me in a bad light, and then I can never get out from that. I'm going to be labeled, and I'm going to have the scarlet letter on here because
forever.
I'm this person. And I said, that is true, and it's unfortunate. I said, because we don't give people the grace to get out of the way of, you know, the incoming dagger. It's like, you wanted me to ask the question. So when I ask the question, now you're mad and now I'm demonized for it. But you asked me to ask. You told me, hey, this is a safe space.
Right.
And then
you rescinded it.
That's right. And that, which makes it sometimes worse. Like, oh my gosh, because now I feel like, or somebody's telling me that I should feel so bad about this. And it gets into a lot of topics that, you know, a lot of people are pushing on the children. And that stuff, that's what hits near and dear to me, because I start thinking about some of these pieces out there of what goes into the school system, what is coming from the teachers of the time. And, you know, I can't answer all questions. And I've sat with it, and I've sat with my wife, I've sat with and talked with my mom and different, you know, people that have kids of varying ages. And I think we've all come to the same thing. It's like, we're not going to talk about it right now. We want to talk about it, but not right now. And nobody has an answer on, well, when do we talk about it? I don't know, but it's not right now.
But it's not now.
And, you know, when you have kids, you're like, because I'll tell you, Jane, kids, when they say kids have, you know, come up with the darndest questions, they certainly do.
And they'll just blurt it out.
And I find myself like, don't ask any questions. I don't want to know about that. I'm going to go be over here. Go read a book. Redirect. But they have really valid questions of all parts of life because they're observant, they're absorbing, they're hearing. And when they hear something, the natural thing is to ask what, who, where, why? I don't know. I want you to tell me. And I find it very awkward sometimes where like an 8-year-old comes up and asks you a question. I'm like, especially if it's not your own kid. I know the answer, but I'm not going to give you the answer because I don't know if I should tell you this now. I think you should learn this when you're like 12 or 13, or maybe your parents could tell you. And then, you know, we're all friends. They go ask their parents, and the parents call me like, what did you say? I'm like, I didn't say a thing. I redirected them to you.
Yeah. Well, they're yours.
That's right.
Right.
And then depending on what they tell them may conflict with what I tell my own. And that's where I think that's where we run into these brick walls. And I think the dynamic we're seeing with the Gen Z and the millennials and the kids of the millennials and the kids of the Gen Xers is, when did they get that information? Because there was a level of resilience and perseverance and level of understanding. I love and I laugh at everything I see on TikTok and Instagram of the Gen Xers being the strongest ones right now. They took, you know, no crap from anybody. They went and jumped on their bike and rode off into the sunset or into the sunrise for the entire day, 900 miles. And, well, the millennials, they did the same, but they had to wait 45 minutes to put on all their headgear and helmets and this other stuff. And, well, the Gen Zs just aren't going to do it, period, because they've got an app for that, and they're going to jump into the, you know, whatever the vehicle of the day is that's going to take them to where they're going. So I just think it draws on a lot of things that make us want to ask those questions. So we're going to come back to some more good stuff here as we're wrapping up things here soon. So we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
Local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon with a chance of scattered snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 25. West winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows level off around 14 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for snow showers. Highs level off around 23. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
All right, and we are back here as we're getting down to the wire here with some of our really good topics. I think this Random Friday has been really good for us. It's been cleansing for me. It's been entertaining. Jane, I hope you've gotten a little bit younger and feel better about the day and these Gen Zs that are going to be here and champion the world and do awesome things.
Well, if Brooklyn is going to be the example for all Gen Zers everywhere, I feel really good about that.
I'm telling you.
But I think, Brooke, that you are unique in that you have really good communication skills one-on-one, face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
But you do. And I do think some in your generation are not good at that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you're so used to doing everything over the phone and via text and all that stuff. And when you're actually face-to-face looking at someone, it's kind of... And that, I think, is going to be challenging for you guys. For those of you who don't adapt.
Yeah. I mean, my mom... And that, like, all the glory to her for that, because she always taught us, when you're talking to someone, you look them in the face, you say please, you say thank you. Like, she very much, like, instilled that in us. So I think that she's definitely the reason why I am the way I am. She's not going to agree to that. She's going to be like, no, you're unique, but it's because of her. Definitely because of her.
That's so Wisconsin for her not to take any credit, though.
Right, yeah.
So humble. So humble here in Wisconsin. So I'm going to go to our next segment here, which I think is what I think is my favorite. We did it last time I was here. The best of Next Door. Jane, do you remember Next Door?
Of course I do. I get at least 10 notifications a day.
Well, I will tell you, Brooke, if you don't know Next Door is where you're supposed to connect with your neighborhoods and, you know, have communications that matter so that you can belong and bridge, you know, communication with your neighbors and everything else there. But I tell people, sometimes you don't need to air out, whether it's dirty laundry or say everything that's on your mind. So I'm going to read a couple here of the best that have come from across Wisconsin. This one is one of my favorites from here a couple of weeks ago. Hey, everyone. This is a new person in their neighborhood. Hey, everyone. I'm Christian. I just recently moved in, and I'll blank out where they live, with my friends. We're hardworking dudes. We're always happy to help when need be. So let me know and reach out if you see me in the neighborhood to help. First comment a day later after they post that. Welcome to the area. Please keep your religion to yourself.
What?
Yeah, and I took me a moment. I was like, oh, their name is Christian. And so I think that person read it as, geez. I was like, what is going on here?
Whoa.
Oh, and then my next one here, cars with blue lights. The last few nights, my husband has had reason to be driving around the city about 2 or 3 a.m. Three of the nights, he's seen cars each of these nights, and all have been different. They come from major streets in and out of the neighborhood. They drive slowly around the houses. One stopped in front of our house, and he didn't see anyone get out, but they were there. So he followed the car after that when he left the neighborhood, and it sped up and ran a red light. He didn't pursue. The other two nights, he did follow them, and all the cars had a blue light on the center of the dash. Does anyone else know anything about these cars with the blue lights? Yeah. Jane, you already know.
That would be a police officer, would it not?
Yes.
That's law enforcement.
Wow. 101. Like the blue lights, right? You don't watch any TV?
See, we have too many warnings for people.
Yes.
There shouldn't be warnings on frozen pizza that you have to heat this before you eat it because it's frozen. Mm,
coffee hot.
Yes, coffee hot. We've dumbified
everything.
Several generations by trying to be overly protective.
That's right. And this one, I'm not going to call the neighborhood, but it's very close here to Waukesha, I'll say that much. It's someone named Brent. Let me tell you. Brent said, please help. I'm out of butter. Please drop a stick of butter at the corner of, we're going to blank those two corners out. I'll be by between 2 and 4 a.m. today.
2 and 4 a.m.?
2 and 4 a.m.
For butter?
For butter that you're going to leave on the corner. I don't want to meet anybody, so, and I don't want to meet any new friends. I just need butter. Butter is very important to me. Please help. I had to read that one two or three times. So I'm like, okay, hang on. If you're going to be out, that means you're either in a car, or even if you're on foot, you're walking to someplace, to a corner. And then I said to Mike, okay, hang on. I'm going to ask Brooke, is butter code word for something else, not butter, between 2 and 4 a.m.?
I mean, no one's ever said that to me. If it is, then I'm clueless.
Apparently, you need to go drive around town here in Waukesha County between 2 and 4 looking for butter on the corner. There might be something special hanging out there for you. I don't know.
I think you're onto something, Philip, that's code word for something that we just don't understand.
Yeah, I'm assuming they got it because they didn't have a follow-up, and that was from November 14th.
He's still waiting.
Well, he's either waiting or somebody dropped off the butter between 2 and 4.
Finally went and got some of his own butter.
I tell you, I said this, but the best of next door. If you don't follow it, I have no ties to them, but I think it's the best. And somebody's actually created a Twitter page that is the best of all of these. And I tell you what, I go scrolling through my own neighborhoods because, like you, Jane, I get, I don't even know, half a dozen, sometimes 10 or more, you know, depending on if the weather, I always say if the weather's too good, somebody's got something to complain about, they're on there. I had one in my neighborhood because I get the notifications from my video doorbell now. That's, I guess, tied into something similar.
Oh, sure.
And it's like, there were kids walking down the street. And I'm waiting for more.
No, that's it.
No, that's it. Yeah. Okay, there's kids. Well, you know, they do that, you know. Mine are guilty. I should probably call the police. We don't want them walking down the street. So
There's so much suspicion. There's so much hypervigilance in some instances. You know, you like to think that we are looking out for each other, but people can take it too far.
There was one that I did have to laugh because it was someone that from the video doorbell camera off their back door, they called the police and had the person, they found him, had him arrested. They were found like a couple blocks away. And then they came back and said, because they put a description. If you see this person, they just stole a package off my porch and all this, that, and the other. I'm watching this from out of town. Well, they forgot that they gave permission to one of their friends, and it was their kid, go and grab the package off the porch
to secure it.
And I said, I've done that. I've sent my son, you know, hey, we're going to, you know, our friends that are they're out of town, run up there on the porch, grab that off. And I'm like, you might be sending somebody to their death. You never know. Or somebody's going to get clubbed over the head because they have no idea that what's going on because we're all, again, back to the sensitivity.
Yeah.
So sensitive and looking for something to complain about and looking for something to nitpick about every single thing that we see. So, yes. Brooke, are you on next door? Do you follow any of these?
I do not, but I will now.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, at least the best of. Because trust me, it'll get wearing. It'll wear on you when you get those notifications.
Why are they picking up my leaves?
Oh, my gosh. So many.
So many leaves.
You know, it is what it is. Just relax. Everybody just needs to chill. And even, he's not winning for us. So I'm not taking the whole relax rhetoric from Aaron Rodgers this season. But if we weren't winning, I would still take it. But I think that's the message to everyone out there. Just relax.
Weekend is coming.
The weekend is coming.
Absolutely.
Have an old fashioned.
It's all going to be fine, and it's going to be like 40 degrees next week,
That's right.
It's going to be awesome.
That's right. Wow. Well, we'll be back after the break. Oh, we got one more? Okay.
No, this is it.
This is it.
This is goodbye.
No.
Yeah.
I don't want goodbye.
This is.
I just got comfortable, Jane.
Well, that's too bad. Oh. you're warmed up for Monday now, because Philip will be back with us on Monday.
This is true. I'll be back on Monday with guests. And let me tell you, we've got some good ones here. I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a little sneak peek. One of them, his last name is Yelich. I'm not going to tell you who it is. And whoever you think it is, it's not. So don't get too excited.
It's not that Yelich.
It's not that one. But it is a Yelich on there. So Colin Yelich is going to be coming in along with Matt Holbrook and a wonderful gentleman at a nonprofit here that is going to blow your mind called Ignite the Spirit, Mr. Joe Flick out of Milwaukee. Wonderful things for the firefighters. So without further ado, this has been a great show. Loved having it. Loved being here. Jane, thank you so much. Brooke, thank you so much. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we are out for the week.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit.
No, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership? Say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now, of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the